Did you watch this week's episode? No, you didn't? Well, you're in luck because we did.
Welcome to Here for the Cocktail Party. I'm Sean.
And I'm Rayanne. And here's a down and dirty recap to fill you in on what's happening on Katie Thurston's season of The Bachelorette.
But before we get into the episode, we were drinking a crybaby punch because all of these guys were crying about the new guy. And I was here for it. This was a perfect summer cocktail where you would totally drink this on your porch in the South and judge the shit out of people, which besides the porch, judge the shit out of people this week.
I mean, always. And that grapefruit juice and that grapefruit soda really gave it that tartness and really made me feisty to judge everybody. So A plus.
We were judging people up and down, and I was here for it. But this week, they kind of finally gave us an all-in-one episode. They gave us two one-on-ones, a group date, a cocktail party, and a rose ceremony. Wow, how did we get so lucky?
I don't know, Sean. I really don't know. But first, we see Blake Moynes come into the house, and the men are staring at him with rage. Well, actually, first Tayshia comes in and is essentially pretending that it's like her fault that this new guy from her season is coming on. And Hunter is like, Tayshia came in and told us that someone's coming into the house. I was like, learn how to say her name, Hunter, first and foremost, pal.
She is a gem of America, so you better get it right, Hunter.
So annoying. So then, of course, the guys are grilling Blake, and Blake is having to stand up for himself, and he's pretty honest with them, and is like, I realize that this is the third bachelorette I'm dating, but I've never met anyone like Katie, and I want to be here. And then they get a date card, and that sort of ends. But they were actually not as angry as I thought they were going to be honest.
They weren't as angry as with Thomas saying he wants to be the next Bachelor. Like, at least Blake was just like, you know what? I'm shooting my shot just like you guys. And I think that's where it landed.
Yeah, I thought they were going to focus way more on him coming to the house and the guys feeling some sort of way about it. And I'm glad that they didn't, because, like, so over them focusing on one person throughout the entire episode. And we sort of get there eventually in this episode with Hunter, but I'm happy it went a good way with Blake. So
1,000%. And I'm glad we didn't get an hour and 45 minutes of just Blake Moynes, because I think I would have just gone particularly mad, even though I am already a little bit crazy.
So the date card comes, and of course it's all these sound bites of the guys being like, we'll be really upset if Blake gets the first one-on-one card. And then, of course, who gets the first one-on-one date? Blake.
Oh yeah. And before they go on their one-on-one date, Katie also comes in and addresses the shit to the guys and is like, look, I know he's here, he's returning, just focus on your journey and we will have really good connections, blah 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 blah. And they go on their date, which is horseback riding.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring up Blake's occupation is wildlife manager, and I don't know what that means, and thankfully he touches on it a little bit, yet I still really don't know what he does. But I just pictured him as like the You Can Prevent Forest Fires bear, like just like helping wildlife with his shirt off around places. That's like the only visual that was coming to my head.
I mean, I feel like that's pretty accurate, seeing as he didn't know how to ride a horse. So
yeah,
wasn't saving the horses, that's for sure.
That was the other thing. He's like, I love the outdoors, I protect wildlife. But he's never been on a horse before. I feel like that's an activity that like people who enjoy wildlife do. But maybe that's just my perception of it. I don't know.
Look, I am major into the wildlife, and I just feel like if you are like an outdoorsy person, you have ridden a horse once in your life, and I know it's more of like a privilege thing you can do, but if you're going to be outdoorsy, man, you need to know how to ride a horse. What happens if you're like Mulan saving your tribe from like the Huns and you need to ride your horse past the avalanche?
I don't know if that's going to happen to Blake in Canada, but regardless, he should probably know how to ride a horse. But then he mentions that he goes to Africa for a month and works, but we still don't know what he does, aside that it's wildlife in Africa. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if he's like jumping in front of poachers trying to shoot lions and elephants, or like, Blake, we need a little elaboration on what you actually do.
Yes, please. But they have a really good date, at least this portion. They're chatting, and then we get to the night portion and we get a little bit more serious. And I will give props to Blake, because usually during this time, the questions that are asked are so like surface level. And my favorite is like, I just want to know what makes you you. And I hate that so much. And Blake actually came with a question that was like very pointed and specific. And it was essentially asking her like how she became so sex positive and like comfortable and talking about sex. And I was like, well, you know what? Props to Blake. An actual question.
Yes, it was an actual question. And wow, oh wow. She talks again about the, you know, New Year's Eve story and about the Me Too movement. And here we are in 2021 actually having conversations that will help create change, which I would have never pegged The Bachelor to do.
Yeah, I thought that was a really great conversation. I actually really like them together. I think they are pretty similar in some ways, so I don't know if that's going to be to their detriment, but as of right now, they have a good thing going. And then, of course, we get our musical guest situation. So, oh good, Lane Hardy is here.
Woo! First country singer of the season. We are happy to see it. They were subpar at best, but, you know, got to shoot your shot.
I am also going to give Katie another props here. Usually when they're obviously told that they need to say who the musician is, and every person who does it, like every lead is like, and then I was so excited because, oh my God, freaking Lane Hardy was there. Like they pretend like they know who the person is, but she just like subtly snuck it in. She was like, yeah, I really enjoyed, you know, dancing and listening to Lane Hardy. She like didn't pretend she had any idea who this person was. She was just like, yeah, like dancing to the song.
Again, too mature for being The Bachelorette. She just can't, exactly. She can't give us those little things. But of course, he gets the rose. What's new? And we are off to the races. And the group date is with Greg, Courtney, Aaron, Mike P, Michael A, Andrew M, Josh, Justin, Brendan, James, Connor B, Trey, Hunter, and it says, love is a battlefield, aka we are getting down and dirty on Rayanne's most favorite date is when they dress in skimpy outfits and play sports.
I can't do this anymore. I hate it so much. The only thing is that my favorite Wells and my other favorite Franco show up, so that's really the only thing that made this good.
I know, I was gonna say, you got a double whammy this week, because I know how much you love them. I wish Franco would have had a little more jewel on him, but you know, I'm just glad he was there.
I was living for those short shorts, by the way. Obsessed.
Yes.
And then two things. They're explaining what the game is, and Michael A. just whispers, we're going to die. And if that's not foreshadowing, I don't know what is. And second, Greg has, like, these secret abs. What's going on?
I know. What is going on? I feel like everyone has secret abs this season. Like Hunter, I was not expecting that from him.
No.
Greg, and it just is kind of overwhelming.
A lot of abs. And then Michael A. is like, and me and my dad bod. And I'm like, I could not love you anymore, Michael A.
Michael A., you keep jumping up our ladder. And actually, we want to invite you for cocktails. So...
Then it starts to get pretty aggressive because Hunter just keeps talking about how aggressive he is. And I think he tries to murder poor virgin Mike P at one point. And somebody says that Hunter looks like a crazy circus guy. And I'm like, that's absolutely what he looks like.
It truly is. Like, he's the guy who can lift like 5,000 pounds. He is ready for murder, and he will gladly go and bury the body on a one-on-one date with Katie. Like,
so good.
That is the vibes he's giving off.
And then, holy shit, Justin, what the fuck, runs into poor sweet Michael A. from behind. I think I heard his back crack, and he like falls onto the floor, him and his like lifeless body. I felt so bad for him.
And I'm just like, wow, they need to really calm down. Didn't we hear Michael A's story last week? You have to at least give him some pity and not try and kill him.
Well, the guys don't know his story yet, but like, I think they know he has a child, so they should be more aware of how they're, you know, knocking the wind out of this man who needs to go back home to his child. Terrifying.
It's terrifying. And even though they said that one team would be the winners, Michael A's injury made them all winners to go to the after party. Boo!
I mean, I'm glad this happened. First, Katie shut shit down after that. She's like, okay, this is done. We're done with this. And then she's like, you guys can all come to the night portion, which... thank God, because I couldn't hear, even though I was drinking the crybaby punch, them cry about how one group can go to a fucking after party. So I'm glad she just shut all that shit down.
So they get to the night portion, and Michael A. gets the first portion, and she was so cute and got him an ice pack.
Yeah, she's like, where should I put it? He's like, honestly, my entire body.
Same, Michael A., same.
Yeah, and he just gets emotional because it was his late wife's birthday the day before, and he says he's usually with his family that day, so it was, like, tough being there. And, God, he just keeps pulling at my heartstrings. Then they make out, and it was a nice little chat. And then Kitty Cat Connor, he is showing a lot of chest, and I was uncomfortable.
And he busts out another goddamn song. I swear, it's getting old now. It is getting old, Kitty Cat Connor.
I want him and Jed to start a band. Like the Bachelor Reject band or something.
Okay, but I'm pretty sure that would be perfect. And you're welcome for your next career idea, Kitty Cat Connor and Jed.
If becoming a kitty cat, like, furry enthusiast, cat play doesn't work out for you, because I could see that in your future as well. And then here we go, like, Aaron starts talking shit about Hunter, and Aaron really is the one planting the seeds on like who the next victim of the house is gonna be. And we get to Hunter, who keeps on talking about this like it's a game, and how he's like so proud about how aggressive he's being, blah blah blah. And so he goes and he talks to her, and he really is like a different person. He's like, this means a lot to me. I've never introduced my kids to any woman, but here you go. Here are some photos of my kids. Like, he was just using his children to like get further in the competition, because that's how like competitive he is. And it was gross, and I hated it.
It definitely felt very tactical for him to do that. Like, he's like, I made it this far in order to get another week. Here are some pictures, you know?
Yeah. Gross. So Although Aaron is a little shit stirrer and trying to get people kicked out of the house, usually he's like pretty good at picking out the assholes. So more power to you.
But at the end of it, Hunter wins the group date rose with his beautiful pictures of his children.
Only after Michael A. drops wisdom about how he finally tells the guys that his wife passed away and how like important time is, and has this really beautiful speech. All the guys are crying. Everybody's probably crying everywhere. I was like, this guy just won't stop. Won't stop trying to make me cry.
The next Bachelor, everyone.
Oh, I mean, please. Really. Please. So with that, Greg gets really inspired that he wants to tell Katie just how much she means to him. And Katie tells Greg that he has resting sad face, that he's like a puppy. It's like, yeah, true. But she says that her biggest fear is him wanting to leave. And we know that she's still into him. So Greg is still on our radar here. But yeah, Hunter gets the rose to Aaron's dismay and just gives him more ammunition to try and punt him out of the house. And we even hear Greg like talk about Hunter not being a stand-up guy. And for him, I feel like he was not very vocal about the rest of them, but he stole his rose, so he was pissed.
But he better watch out, because he doesn't want to get stuck in the crossfire. He needs to make it almost all of the way.
Yep, and then we get to our last one-on-one, which is with Andrew S. And I just want to go out on a limb here and say thank you for not doing your fake British accent this entire time. Thank you. I appreciate it, because if you did do it, like I said last week, I was going to shut you off my screen.
I think we would have to. I don't think we'd have any choice but to just shut it off, because I couldn't. And I don't know why. I don't know why Katie is trying to look like Catwoman on this one-on-one, but it's just too much. Girl, you are not Halle Berry. Like, get something else.
Oh, I wrote that she's trying to wear an outfit that Maureen from Rent would wear, but like, it's just not there. Like, the pleather pants and the chain belt is just so bad.
Unless you are going to talk about a cow going over the moon, we don't want to freaking hear it, Katie.
She was like the Rent Live version of Maureen, which is like the worst version.
Yes,
of Maureen.
Yes, yes. But this date was kind of cute. I love that they did this whole like magical wonderland in the forest, probably inspired by Taylor Swift's album. But I was here for it, and you know, I feel like I really like them together, and I don't know why.
Yeah, no, they definitely have really good chemistry. They have similar upbringing and similar things with their families about, you know, having sort of strained relationships with their parents, because their parents didn't have good relationships with each other. So the things that they learned from there. So yeah, I like them together too.
Yeah. And so I just feel like he is something that he's going to go far, but unfortunately I think he's going to get his heart broken in the end. But I will have to say, I think they do a little foreshadowing, because he does talk about interracial marriages and the family. So does this mean that he makes it all the way to hometowns?
I think he's top four. I'm just throwing it out there, because I think she really likes him, and I think they definitely have good chemistry. And yeah, that was even a good conversation too. And he was just saying how the girl he almost proposed to didn't want people looking at their children and like asking if the children were hers. And Katie's response to that was like, I don't give a fuck who looks at me and how they look at me. Like, preach, girl.
I'm like, girl, everyone stares anyway. Like, so kudos to you, Katie.
Yeah, so they have a really good date. He's like definitely fallen for her. He just constantly says, let's go every time something happens. So like that was getting a little annoying. But again, the accent wasn't there. So we're all good. And he gets the rose. So Andrew S. is sticking around.
Yes, he is. Kudos to him. And I mean, obviously, I like him. So as long as he doesn't do the fake British accent, that's his only downfall.
Yeah, he definitely grew on me this episode. There, I said it.
But then we get into the cocktail party and shenanigans are about to go down because Hunter steals her away first after he already has a rose, and James, the box guy, is not here for it. He is ready to talk all the mad shit to all the guys about how Hunter is an evil spawn to Satan.
Yeah, this is where we start to harp on Hunter and harp on the same tropes of he has a rose, why is he getting more time, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, traditional rose ceremony shenanigans, which like we said, we're kind of glad to have him back because whenever you don't get a rose ceremony or you don't get the cocktail party, all the episodes feel so disjointed.
So then James is like, okay, I'm going to go interrupt. And Hunter still is like, oh, just give us some more time. James sticks around. Then obviously James gets some time, but Hunter interrupts again. And I'm like, Hunter, you are getting psycho at this point. Like, and I think basically Hunter just spent the whole night with her because I don't really remember her being with any other guy.
Well, they show her talking to Justin and they play this like little game. And I just wish that Justin's game was to teach her how to do a sufficient eye roll because he's just so good at those.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That would have been so good. Teach her your facial expressions.
But yeah, that's really all we see. And then we see Trey and Hunter going at it. And poor sweet Trey. It's like, I love him too, but obviously he's not going to go very far. He's out in the next couple of weeks. And it's just sweet. He thinks he has a chance. But he's such a nice guy.
Yeah. We can go with that nice guy.
He's just such a nice guy. But yeah, they just keep harping on Hunter. And of course, we don't see anybody else get time. I'm sure other people got time. They just didn't show it to like prove their point even more. But that's really all we see. And we just see everybody getting mad at Hunter. And then we go right into the rose ceremony.
Yeah, we go right into the rose ceremony. And I feel like the people who got roses were kind of the people expected again. Like, I don't think Katie's playing around. I don't think there's like really any one person that is really getting roses week after week.
Yeah, there's less of like the producer rose or like the rose to keep people around to cause drama. Except this time Hunter slipped in this week, which I'm sure the producers were happy about to stir the shit a little bit more.
Oh yeah. A good pot is starting to stir. And you know, with that, we are going to get into the good, the bad, the ugly real quick, because each episode definitely has a little bit of each. And the good this week is that Katie finally got good dates. I feel like there wasn't one that I really harped on or was like, oh my God, this is a horrible date. So, you know, kudos to the producers for finally planning something.
Yeah, all of them we've sort of seen before, but, you know, the horseback riding, the little, like, the obviously the fighting sports dates, and then the sort of like scavenger hunt, get to know you stuff, but they formatted them in a way where it didn't feel like it was completely reused and recycled. It like felt a little bit different, which thank you. And yeah, I think she actually had the opportunity to get to know a lot of the guys. So definitely a good week for dates.
Oh yeah. But with the good comes the bad, and the bad is Michael A. getting hurt because we love him so much. I mean, that was just so traumatizing for me, and I didn't even get tackled.
I know. Poor, sweet Michael A. If anybody else tries to hurt him, they're going to have to answer to us, okay?
We will throw cocktails at you. Well, actually, probably not, because I would want to drink those cocktails, but we'll throw something at you.
We'll find something to throw at you.
And I think you should definitely introduce the ugly, because you are a genius.
So we're taking the word ugly a little bit literal today. And normally I don't really like to make fun of people's appearances, but he's really annoying, and I'm not sorry for saying it, but Hunter resembles the Geico caveman a little bit. No?
I think you might be a little spot on with this one, and it's a little sad and funny at the same time. I mean, oh gosh. So now, Geico, if you need to cast a new caveman, well, you have your next one, and it's Hunter.
Yes, I'll get whatever karma comes to me for being a little bit mean, but there it is. I said it.
It's out in the universe. There's no taking it back. But with that, also, someone makes a fool out of themselves every week and are dubbed the Cocktail King. So drumroll, please. Box Guy James takes the crown because he tried to dress like The Rock in the 90s, and it was not working for him, let me tell you.
He was also, like, so hyped up, like, I'm gonna go steal her back from Hunter. And you could tell, like, he was probably just, like, throwing the booze back to like gain the confidence to do it, and then Hunter just shuts him down and he like walks away. I'm like, well, that didn't take very much.
Like, he walked away like a dog with the tail in between their legs. Like, he just got shut down. Hunter had more confidence and probably cocktails than him, so goodbye, Box Guy James.
If he's going to try and, like, channel The Rock in outfit, he really needs to try and channel the confidence as well.
1,000%. Like, throw a chair at Hunter, okay?
But we did want to introduce our cocktail for next week, which isn't a cocktail, but it's some vino. And we wanted to give Caitlin Bristow's wine a chance next week. It's called Spade and Sparrows Wine. I'm going to get the rosé. And we're going to do this to honor our girl Caitlin, who was giving Katie some advice on how to bring in a new guy to the house. That was her 5 minutes of fame this episode.
You go. And I am excited to try this wine. I mean, why not? I mean, she obviously went from Dancing with the Stars, and now she has wine. So let's give it a try.
Let's do it. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
We will. But with that, unfortunately, it's time to say our goodbyes. But join us next week when we dive into episode 6 of Katie's season.
Until then, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Here for the Cocktail Party. All one word for more content and cocktail recipes. See you next week.
Sayonara.